This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana of Galilee, and his disciples believed in him. Now, Spirit of the living God, move within my heart. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be found acceptable in your sight. For you are my Lord and strength, you are my Redeemer, Lord Christ. It is in your name we pray these things. Amen. On the third day, there was a wedding. You know, this is one of those passages that gets read often, especially in relationship to the sacrament of Christian marriage. Usually when we are doing premarital work, we at least read this passage once with the couple. And we talk about its significance and all of those kinds of things. But sometimes we have relegated this passage to something a little different, and it becomes lost, I think, in the process. At least for some of us. When in fact, what it should be is like a starting pistol, catching our attention, letting us know that we should be not only at our mark, but that we need to be off and running. Do you notice? Jesus chose to do his first sign that symbolized that he was God. Not with a prayer meeting, not with a solemn assembly of very proper people who most like you now are kind of wondering what this crazy Polish priest is going to say next. Instead, the party was a-rockin' and rollin'. It was a big event. You know, weddings in Israel in that time lasted some 7 days or more, depending on the wealth of the family. But here we are on the third day, and the unthinkable happens. They run out of wine. And wine was a significant central part of this whole thing. Lots of food, lots of wine, lots of joy, lots of celebration in the midst of a very mundane life as a couple launched off together. And then they ran out of wine. And then finally, Jesus gets the message from his mother. And he turns to the servants and he sees these water pots that have been used for the purification. And they were empty. They were empty. And he told the servants to fill them with water. And once they had done that, he had the chief steward draw off a bit and found out that it was the very best. And the party started. My word, did the party start. Can you imagine 120 to 180 gallons of wine all of a sudden arriving at an event that you're having at your home? I think that'd be quite a party incentive, at least for some of us. I don't know. But that's what's going on here. The party. The party. Hang on to that thought. Now, what is this parable all about? What is this story all about? What is this sign signifying? What is its purpose for us as it launches Jesus' ministry. It is to demonstrate to us, I believe, the absolute abundance of God's grace, his unmerited love toward his people, that then calls upon our true response to that abundance. Now, what is that abundance, you might ask? What is that abundance? God wants us to live in abundance. And contrary to a certain preacher in Houston, Texas, it has nothing to do with lavish over large homes worth millions upon millions of dollars. It has nothing to do with fancy cars. It has nothing to do with bloated bank accounts or piles and squirreled away funds. It has nothing to do necessarily with anything material. Don't hear me say that. Instead, what it is, and it begins with a personal living relationship with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. That's where it begins. That's not where it ends, but that's where it begins. In a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is where the abundance of God starts. The second place it goes from there is it's not just enough to come into relationship with Christ and to receive his Holy Spirit, to have events like we had last week as we gathered here in the front of the church and we had the prayer and the calling down of the Spirit of God further into our lives. It calls for a continuing maturing in our faith. That's what this abundance does. It calls for us to grow in that Spirit, in that grace, in that unmerited love, as we then develop into the people of God that God wishes us to be. And thirdly, then, finally, is that it isn't, in fact, material. Because neither our poverty nor our riches demonstrate that we are in Christ. What demonstrates it is what we do with what we do have. Jesus' words about the widow and the widow's mite should teach us a great deal. She has given all that she had. All that she had. And this is what God calls for from us. Now, one other thing. And this one I think is so critically important for us to grasp. And I think it's one that we ignore so very often about our Christian life. It's a party. It's a party. That's what the Christian life is supposed to be. It's a party. These glum and solemn, over-solemn faces that we often wear as we go about and say, yes, I love Jesus, and I really wish you'd find that same relationship I have. And you know what? I want no part of that one. I don't know about you. It's time for us, it's past time for us, church, to literally, figuratively, if not physically, wipe off that solemnity that is keeping others from enjoying the joy that we have found. That attitude that makes things so stilted and deadly. And allow the fullness of the Spirit of God to inhabit us in all of its true strength and power. That Paul's words to the Corinthians today can be ours, and we can discover not only in the gifts of the Spirit what are ours, but the ways in which we then can help transmit them into the lives of others. The abundant life in Christ Jesus is a party. Can I get a big smile and say amen? How about a smile? All right. Amen. Amen. Unto God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we ascribe all might, majesty, and dominion, now and forevermore. Amen.